This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. Always eager to receive your phone calls here. Let me give you that number. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986, inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call right away. I always say, don't delay, call right away. We want to hear from you today. We certainly do. So I invite you to give us a call here. Always eager to know what's going on in your life as we seek to live this abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share it with others. Another way that you can connect with us is via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to get out there and use the chat feature. It is there for you. Yes, it is. All you do is put your question or comment into that space. It's going to get retrieved and put up on the board. If you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, well, I certainly do want to know about that, and I will ring my bell here. I'm going to ring it. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. It's a very loud bell, isn't it? Ring that bell for you today to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. As I say to you, so very frequently, it's your questions that set the direction for our program that helps for all of us to grow in our faith, right? And to grow in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I just love using the airwaves for the glory and honor of God. I talk with you about that all the time right here. So we do invite you to do all that. I also invite you to leave a comment for us 24/7. Sometimes something pops into your head or, you know, maybe something was said during the show and it works in you and you say, gee, I have a question about that, but we're not on the air. Well, you don't have to worry about that because we've got a number for you to use so that you can leave that question that comes into your mind right there for us. All you have to do is go out to EWTN's listener comment line. And that number is area code 1-205-795-5773. I'll repeat it for you and I'll go a little bit more slowly. That is country code 1-205-795-5773. We'll get that question, especially if you put in the subject line for Women of Grace. We'll get that. We'll get your call. It'll get up on the board, and I'll be able to address it at another point in time. So I do invite for you to give us a call here. Always want to hear from you, as I say. Also want you to visit our website, womenofgrace.com. We have all kinds of really good things there for you. We certainly do. We're always about something, and we've got up a bit of a fall lineup. We're even taking you into the summer of next year by giving you our Malvern dates now. Oftentimes you say, oh, I wish that I would have known that these were the dates I planned a vacation at that time. I would have rearranged all that. Well, the fact of the matter is we're putting them up there early for you for that reason. We want for you to have some advance notice on when we are going to be back at Malvern for our annual Women of Grace retreat. Now, we do things all through the course of the year. We certainly do. But this is a big event that's been going on there at Malvern for many, many years. I can tell you for sure that it's been going on for at least 17, 18, 19, 20 years. So that's a long time, and it's become very much a part of what it is that we do and where we like to go. So those dates are up there for you. That's going to be happening. Now, these are 2025 dates, in July of 2025. The 24th, 25th, and 26th kicked off, as it always is, by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, followed up right there the next day with our retreat that begins in the evening on July 25th and runs through Sunday, July 27th. On the 26th, which is the Saturday, of course, we'll have the women's retreat, but we will also be having a Young Women of Grace retreat day. Yes, we will. And it's going to be a lovely time for all of the young women that attend. We'll have the theme up for you. We'll get all of the speakers up there for you as soon as we get them confirmed so that we can keep you informed. You know, but do a hold the date on your own personal calendar so that you can join us for this beautiful opportunity that takes place annually there at Malvern. Want to let you know that in September, and I know you're saying September, John, my goodness, but I had to tell you what, you know, they're in Birmingham and I'm in Florida right now here in Florida. The kids go back back to school in August. I mean, some of the children are returning to school in other places the beginning of August. So you know how that is. As soon as school starts, gracious sakes, I mean, whether you have kids in school or you don't have kids in school, somehow, you know, that school calendar still affects our lives. And the next thing you know, it's September. So September's going to be here soon. I invite you to join us in September at the, you know, front end of September, September the 9th. We are going to begin a new book study that will be led by Sue Brinkman, our Wacky Wednesday woman. It's not going to be on wacky things, though. This is going to be on Maurice and Therese, The Story of a Love, a beautiful, beautiful book that's available for you once again in print. Years ago, when this book first came out, I had the beautiful opportunity to interview the bishop who gathered these letters together and gave us some commentary with them and provided this beautiful book. That was the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of New York, Bishop Patrick Ahern. Maybe some of you know him or remember him. I remember him so well. I'll give you just a little bit of a memory that I had with him. He made a deep impression on me, I think because he was just so affable. He was just so easy to be around. Just a lovely, lovely person, and real spiritual father. You could sense that in him. You could sense his spiritual paternity. And I said to him, I don't think I said this in the show. We might have been on a break, but maybe I said it in the show. That little detail, I don't quite remember. But I said to him, oh, I said, you know, Bishop, I just love St. Therese so much. I said, I just love her, the little flower. He said, isn't she the bee's knees? I just thought that was so cute. Isn't she the bee's knees? And, you know, you could tell that he had this intimate relationship with this holy little saint of the church, you know, but that bee's knees expression goes all the way back to the 20s. So he has now gone on to his eternal reward. I'm quite certain that maybe he knew that term from his youth, you know, or maybe he was a teenager or a young adult at that time. I don't know, because he was a little elderly when I interviewed him all those many years ago, which I think might have been in the late 90s. I can probably look. I think I even have a copy of that book down here in Florida. I can probably just look at the copyright and figure that one out. But it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we are going to be studying that book with Sue Brinkman, who is a third order discalced Carmelite, beginning on September the 9th. So it's not too early to order your book. You might want to go through it first, even though she assigns, you know, the reading. If you go through it first, you'll be all set to go, and then you can refresh yourself by reading it again. But it's an absolutely beautiful book, an absolutely beautiful book. It's letters that were exchanged between St. Therese of Lisieux and a seminarian. And it's her advice and counsel to him, his questions to her, but also, you know, an insight into this holy friendship that developed between them. And this is something that's always captivated me, is that we have these holy pairs, P-A-I-R-S, not the fruit, but holy pairs, P-A-I-R-S, of men and women who, through this, you know, fraternal love for each other, a real brotherly, sisterly love for each other, encouraged each other along the path of holiness. And it reminds me of the fact that we're called to that today. And one of the great ways that we have of doing that is really right here on Catholic Radio. We become spiritual friends to each other through this medium of communication. So I invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're here for you today. We certainly are. Matthew Gubinski on phones, Michael McCall retrieving questions, Rich Jesse producing, coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. Excuse me. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. We try to make it easy for you. Yes, we do. That number is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Can't get any easier than that, right? Just can't. So we invite you to use that number and give us a call. Matthew Gubensky is our phone screener, and he will take your call, and he will get you up on the board, and I'll be able to address whatever your question or comment might be. I can do the same for you if you go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature that's available for you at both of those sites. Michael McCall will retrieve your question or comment and get it up on the board. As I shared with you prior to our break, if you let me know you're a first timer, I will ring my bell for you. This is a very loud bell that I have here in Florida. It was given to me by my buddy, Tom Sullivan, who brought one home for each of our staff members. He brought them back from the Philippines for us. And they are exorcised bells, which is a wonderful thing. They carry an exorcism blessing on them. So I have that one down here. I've got one similar to it up in Alabama. I use it on Wednesdays because, you know, we face powers and principalities all of the times in our lives, right? Maybe you have been facing a behemoth kind of a thing that's presenting itself through a problem, a situation in your family. We want to talk with you about it today. So just pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN. I received a question by email some weeks back, and I've not had an opportunity to get to it. So I want to get to it today. And this question that came to me came from a woman. And she had a question, and the question that she had had to do with heaven. And the question that she had was, you know, can non-Catholics go to heaven? Are there non-Catholics in heaven? I want to answer that question. And I want to answer it this way. Remember that when we are baptized in Christ Jesus, the baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when that formula is followed, you know, and that water is either poured on someone or someone is immersed, and the formula is followed, that individual is baptized into the one baptism. There are not different baptisms in Christianity. There's only one baptism in Christianity. Now, remember that the mother of Christianity is Catholicism. Everything denominates from the Catholic faith. So it's the one baptism. And that sacrament is received. And remember that you do not have to be a priest to administer that sacrament. Even you and I can administer that sacrament in a situation of extreme need. For example, if someone is dying and there is no priest that's going to get there in time or no priest is available, we can definitely exercise this gift that comes with us by way of our baptism to baptize someone else. So as long as the formula is followed, non-Catholics who are baptized in another denomination, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Evangelical, you know, they are baptized in the one baptism that was instituted for us at the moment that our Lord Jesus Christ himself was baptized. So is heaven open? Yes, heaven is open. The gates of heaven are open. Now, the fact of the matter is that the fullness of the truth is not found in the Protestant denominations. The fullness of truth resides within the Catholic Church, the church that Jesus Christ founded. A great deprivation that individuals have that are not Catholic would be the deprivation of the sacraments outside of baptism, in addition to baptism, right? So even though they have a communion of sorts, that bread and that wine or grape juice in most cases is not confected. It is truly a nostalgic gaze back. For us as Catholics, this is not a gaze back. This is a representation, a perpetuation of the one sacrifice that took place on Calvary's Hill. It's not a re-sacrificing of Jesus Christ. It is a making the past present again in the Jewish understanding of that word memory or remembrance. Do this in memory of me. Do this in remembrance of me. It's making the past present again. You know, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross was not a one and done. No, that beautiful offering of our Lord is caught up in the eternal moment. It is ever before the eyes of the Father. And so what you might say is that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is making, how do I want to say this? Heaven breaks through what's happening there. And Jesus Christ, the perpetuation of that, which is always before the eyes of God, because it's in the eternal moment, is made present to us again. We are on Calvary with our Lord at that moment of consecration. And we become ones who, with a priest, basically, who is the only one who can effect, but we, in union with a priest, are offering that one sacrifice to God. And then we partake of this great reality that was instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, the confecting of bread and wine into his body, into his blood, right? Into his soul, into his divinity. So this is a very great thing. So our Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ do not have that because their ministers are not ordained priests. This comes by way of the Sacrament of Holy Orders that was instituted in conjunction the very same night as the Blessed Sacrament, as the Sacrament of Eucharist was instituted. So Jesus does this, and then what does he do? He institutes the priesthood. The priesthood is instituted that evening so that which he does can be perpetuated by them. He's passing on that very authority, his own authority, to the apostles. So, you know, so our Catholic brothers and sisters, or our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, do not participate in that. Sacrament of Reconciliation is not there for them. In addition to that, they don't have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick or extreme unction. They don't have, obviously, holy orders. They don't have the sacrament of matrimony. There's a service for that. Their vows are stated, right? It's official. You know, in terms of the secular authorities, I'm sure that God looks on that in the way in which God would look on that, but it's not a sacrament. There's not grace that's affected through that coming together. So while they are baptized and they participate in that fullness of Christ, right? They don't participate in the fullness of Christ, right? They participate in a partial gift. The whole gift is not there for them. So what happens at death? Well, there's a moment of particular judgment, but that seal, that seal of the sacrament of baptism, which we can all in extremis, administer, is seen. It's there. God recognizes these men and women as his own, right? But the fact of the matter is there's going to be some type, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what the church says about this, but the fact of the matter is there will be an opportunity in some way, I don't know how, you know, they're seeing the fulfillment of all desire there, right? We receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity into our bodies in this life. They will see Jesus in that moment. And however God appropriates all of this, I don't know. Hopefully, you know, when we get before him, we'll know, because he'll either tell us or we'll ask the question, or, you know, there's going to be this infusion of divine and holy knowledge, not the fullness of God. We could never comprehend that. But, you know, there will be this further exploration of the God life. All of that being said, by the time heaven comes, everybody's Catholic, right? By the, you know, entrance into heaven, you know, you will be in the fullness of God. I don't know how that all takes place. But what I want to assure the person who wrote in is that, you know, heaven is attainable by those who are non-Catholics, because they participate in the one baptism. And if I have that wrong, and there's a priest or a theologian listening today and you want to correct me, I welcome that. But this is my understanding as I'm giving it forth to you today. So it's very interesting, isn't it, when we think about, you know, God's provision. He's an amazing God, this God of ours. And I would certainly, you know, encourage anyone listening today that if you're not Catholic and, you know, your appetite has been whetted by what I've said, if there's a, you know, some, if the Holy Spirit is prevailing upon you, at least find out more about the Catholic faith, at least investigate what the church tells us about herself and tells us, you know, about the teaching, the full teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that is given to us through sacred scripture and tradition. You know, there was no Bible that existed at the time of our Lord. The Bible came years after our Lord, right? So how were the truths of the faith made explicit? How were they passed on? They were passed on through oral tradition and through the rites and services, through the tradition of the church that comes by way of her teaching. And we have 2,000 years of teaching coming up in 2033. 2,000 years of teaching. Right. So there's a lot that Holy Mother Church has been able to present to us and to edify us with and to nourish us with. So I very much invite you to check all of that out through purchasing a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and use the index. I sent one recently to someone whom I care about very much, who frequently asked me questions about the faith, who was a non-Catholic. So finally, I decided to purchase for her a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And she said, I just don't, it's kind of, you know, I guess you might say it's kind of overwhelming. I said, use the index in the back. When you have a question, look it up. You want to find out what the church teaches on the Blessed Mother, look up Mary in the index. You want to find out what the church says about the Eucharist, check that out. Yeah, you know, you want to find out what the church says about cremation, check it out. It's there for you. So you can order your copy by going to EWTN's religious catalog. That's 833-288-3986. That being said, we do have a text from Rosie. She says, is it a venial or mortal sin to call in sick to work when you're not really sick? Well, first of all, Rosie, it's a lie. So, you know, that in and of itself is a sin. Now, is it a venial sin or is it a mortal sin? It depends upon the severity of the sin that's of the lie that's being told. So, you know, we lie under oath, that's perjury. My guess is, you know, I could ask a priest, but that's a serious sin. That's a greater degree than saying your dress looks really nice today when you really don't think so. So, you know, there are degrees of sin. And to determine if something is a mortal sin or a venial sin should really be worked out with a priest in the confessional. But if you're not sick, and you call in and you say you're sick, depending upon what's going on there and why it is that you don't want to go to work. For example, you don't want to go to work because, there's something that you are responsible to do and you didn't get it done. Well, that might be, you know, a combination of, you know, imperfection and sin and weakness. You know, you're lying. You also, you know, are not being the employee you ought to be. Maybe there's a good reason for that. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how it works in different organizations. Sometimes people have a bank of days that are theirs to take, whether they're sick or they just need a day off for some reason. But if yours are specific to personal time versus sick time and you're lying, you know, then I would say, you have to look at that. And isn't there a way that you don't have to lie? You know, isn't there a way that you can get the day off without lying? And that would be a better option to do. But there's definitely a lie there. The degree and severity, you'd have to work that out in confession. I certainly do hope that helps you. 833-288 is the 288-3986 or 833-288-EWTN, which is what those numbers convert to. You know, use that. It's toll free for you today. We're going to go to Mark in just a moment. But I also want to remind you that you can text to us too. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. We'll get it. We'll get it up on the board. But remember that message and data rates may apply depending on the plan that you have through your carrier. All right, we've got Mark with us. Mark is a first-time caller from Des Moines, Iowa. I am so excited. He's listening to us via SiriusXM Station 130. And I am ringing my bell away from you, Mark, an arm's length away from the mic so I don't blow the ear off your head. Hey, how are you today, Mark?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Good.
For asking.
You're quite welcome.
Did you get kind of the gist of to get the gist of why I'm calling from the call screener.
Okay.
It was kind of involved, but I just have a couple questions relating to baptizing your grandchild who is not baptized.
Okay.
Is it really a valid baptism? And am I somehow lying by not telling my daughter that I baptized my grandchildren because they've joined a Christian church, not Catholic, and they're very good, but they don't do it till they're like teenagers. So thoughts on that?
Yes, thank you, Mark. You know, first of all, I want to say that I have gotten this question before. Second of all, I've gotten it before because so many grandparents like you are so concerned about their grandchildren who have not been baptized. And for whatever reason, it's become kind of, you know, an avant-garde decision or considered to be broad-minded or enlightened to let your children decide what religion they want to follow. That is sheer, utter insanity. And why is it that? Well, you know, it's insanity for us who are Catholic. And why is that? It's because we know precisely what it is that we have. You know, if we are following our faith and we believe in the creed and we hold to the teachings of the church, we hold to the teachings of sacred scripture, we have, as I was talking about earlier, the fullness of truth. Why would we not want our children to come into the faith at that time? Now, within some Protestant denominations, they'll say, well, you know, this is a decision that, that a person needs to make for himself or herself. And they'll cite that, you know, infant baptism was not part of the early church. There is nothing to substantiate that claim. Sure, we see adults being baptized into the faith in the early days of the church. Why? Because people were converting to the church after Jesus Christ had come. And in those recent years prior to his death, in those early years, then, you know, the fact of the matter was adults wanted to come into the faith just as they do now. But also entire households were baptized. You know, everybody would be baptized. Even the servants would be baptized. And that means everybody, including the infants. So there is more to substantiate that there was infant baptism, plus it was practiced. And we have that as we go through and look at early church history. So there's nothing to substantiate this idea of waiting for the child, you know, to make this decision for Jesus himself or herself. We want to raise them in that. And with that in mind now, when we come back from this break, if you can hang on, I will answer the rest of your questions. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us here today. Stay with us.
On the conversation, the Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We love being with you, and I love when you call. I surely do. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here. We appreciate it when you call because I'll tell you why. You edify and build up the body of Christ by your questions. You build me up. I can tell you that for sure. And we have this holy conversation together, and golly, that's one of the ways that we can both grow in our faith. So I do encourage you to give us a call with your question or comment. Comments, insights, inspirations, they're all welcome here. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. Rosie did. We answered her question. You can leave a question there too. Please do. We will take it. We had Mark with us just a moment ago, and he was calling us from Des Moines, Iowa, and he had a question about whether or not he could baptize his grandchildren, given the fact that the children, grandchildren are not baptized. And apparently the parents are not going to baptize them anytime soon. So I was explaining, you know, just a little bit about, you know, some of the objections that come up. The major objection, perhaps, is that the parents themselves are not practicing the faith. And so, therefore, they don't want to, have the obligation responsibility of raising the child in the faith. A second reason is because some people believe that the thing to do is to let the child decide for himself or herself. Well, you know, just think about that in terms of parenting. That doesn't make any sense just on the face of it, right? We don't let children decide things for themselves. Otherwise, the kids are running the house, you know? So that's not what authority, true parental authority, is all about. It's not exercising what comes to us by way of parenthood by the will of God. So, you know, this is a very important thing. We want to raise the children in the faith. We want them to have, the full opportunity to experience the profound dynamic of life in Christ Jesus. We want them ultimately to achieve eternal salvation. So the grace of baptism, and that is the fundamental sacrament of initiation. Two other sacraments follow that, as you know, sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of reception of the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, and the sacrament of confirmation. Those two, Eucharist and confirmation, coupled alongside of baptism, are the three sacraments of initiation. Baptism comes first. So we want for them to be initiated into the faith. But if parents aren't practicing it, then they're likely not to do that. I think another reason why parents oftentimes do not let the child or wait for the child to make his or her own decision is because, you know, they somehow think that that's the enlightened thing to do. I really don't know. But all of that being said, to the point, to the question, can we baptize our grandchildren? Well, first of all, as I explained with the one question that I shared with you, I had received via email, we do. It is along with the sacrament of marriage, which within the Latin rite of the Church, we officiate that. The priest is the officiator, the celebrant of the sacrament. He's the witness to the sacrament. But the husband and wife actually are the ones who make the sacrament efficacious, right? So aside from that, the only other sacrament that we can actually, effect is the sacrament of baptism. So you can baptize your grandchildren. You have the authority of God in the sense of, you know, all of us who are baptized can baptize someone. But we as laity ought only to implement that in a moment of extremis, when there is the danger of death, or where there is a great peril that is facing, a child. So the fact of the matter is, you know, that is the only time I think that I would consider it probably reasonable and necessary. I'm trying to choose my words carefully here. To override the parent's authority, because in that instant, the child's immediate entry into that opportunity for heaven is going to happen, right? So that is the only time I would consider doing that. The Church doesn't really speak to this. And I have frankly heard priests argue both sides. I've heard priests say, I think the grandparents should. And then I've heard priests say, well, that is really the authority of the parent for the child. And so, you know, I've heard it argued both ways. I probably tend towards the latter opinion, that it's the authority of the parent. There's also an obligation when someone is baptized who is a minor, who is not, you know, at the age of reason, for example, even. And that is that when a parent brings his or her child to baptism, and the godparents, of course, are the ones who sponsor this. The fact of the matter is that we are making a public statement by initiating this sacrament for our child that we're going to raise the child according to the faith. And so are the godparents saying that. So the fact of the matter is, you know, how would the grandparent be able to raise that child in the faith if the parents are not the ones who are in agreement with what's happened, right? What would you do? How could you be able to follow through on that commitment to raise the child in the faith? That's the commitment that the parents need to make, and the godparents, in the event that the parents are deceased or unable to do so for other reasons. So you know, it would become a very complicated factor in the case of a serious situation where the child's life is threatened or whatever the case may be like that, then, you know, that's not really so much of an issue. So that's what I would say. However, what you might do is have a discussion with the parents. You might say, first of all, I would explain to them why this is really important. But if they're still, you know, obstinate about it, I would say, well, how about this? Would you permit me to have, you know, Sonny or your daughter baptized? And then I will raise them in the faith. I will take on that responsibility and that duty. But you'd have to be willing to do that. So that's kind of my thought on it. I don't know. I can tell you, though, I personally know so many grandparents whose hearts are broken because their children are standing in opposition to having the child baptized. And sometimes it comes by way of a mixed marriage where one of the spouses is not Catholic. So you have a Catholic husband or a Catholic wife, and the other spouse is not Catholic or, you know, comes from a non-Christian religion, and they stand in opposition. But if they were married in the church, they also stood before God and said to God, "We will raise our children Catholic." And you might remind them of that, because sometimes that's forgotten. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. These are very complicated matters, aren't they? And it's, you know, it's something that I think that when you take your faith seriously, you know, you're very aware of the peril that we're placing our child's soul in, right? We don't want to do that. We want to give them the fullness of truth. We want to give them all of the graces that God wants for them to have by way of the way in which we raise them to appreciate and to be responsible when they come to their majority for the graces that they receive. We invite you to call. Maybe you've had the same situation and you were able to resolve it in some way. You might be of great help to our caller today. It's one of the benefits that we have by way of this beautiful, beautiful opportunity for Catholic Radio to be there with each other in the trenches, so to speak. You know, oftentimes radio is in the trenches. We're talking about big, major issues that are happening in people's lives. And maybe you have such an issue going on right now. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. I do want to say this. I so appreciate your concern. I so appreciate it. I appreciate the, you know, the spiritual paternity, can I say grand paternity, that you feel towards your grandchildren, that you want the very best for them. I would take all of the suffering that you feel in your heart for this and offer it to God, you know, and ask Him to accept this suffering in union with His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of these grandchildren, that at some point in time, they will be able to receive this beautiful sacrament. Okay, we've got another question out here that's coming to us via, I guess it's coming to us via one of our YouTube, either YouTube or Facebook, one of those social media opportunities. My question is, why did they have Olympics opening a horseman with death riding the horse from the book of Revelation? Well, Georgia, I don't have the answer to that because I don't know what was in the minds and the hearts of the Olympic organizers. I have no idea. You know, and I did not watch the opening ceremonies. I'm kind of glad I didn't, because what I've heard from family and friends is that it was horrific, that there was actually a mockery made of the Last Supper, you know, and that the flaunting of sexual promiscuity and depraved ways of relating to our sexuality was on full scale in those opening ceremonies. So I don't know about this, but in a certain sense, isn't that rather paradoxical? Because certainly, you know, this horseman with death riding the horse from the book of Revelation sort of suggests something that they might not have considered, and that can be very much of a prophetic word, at least about spiritual death, when we are mocking and blaspheming God And when we're living outside of the plan that he has for us as men and women, we don't pay any attention to that societally today, culturally. Western civilization has lost its moorings. And you and I, we stand here at this moment in time in the face of that, because God intends to use us in some profound way to righten the wrong to the extent that we can. And one of the beautiful things that we can do is to make reparation. To make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, way in which the things, the truths of the faith, the things of God are being blasphemed today, held up for ridicule, held up for mockery, the way in which these beautiful truths of the faith and the very laws of God are being disregarded, are being cast aside, are really being legitimated in the culture of the day by approbation. But remember this, the approbation of man has nothing to do with the legitimacy in the eyes of God. Even if you make something a law, it doesn't mean that it is now in accordance with morality and God's law. And there are some laws that we have on the books here in the United States of America that are so outside of the will of God. And I think it's one of the reasons why we are experiencing what we're experiencing in the United States today. When you stand outside of the will of God and you legitimate things, or at least attempt to legitimate things culturally and socially that are an abhorrence to God, that are an abomination to Him, you take yourself out of the blessing that God wants you to know. You have to understand that. The blessing is always there, but we're walking outside of the mantle of that blessing, and we're on our own. And being on our own without God's guidance, without His provision, without His blessing, is a perilous place to be. A perilous place to be. And we're watching the crumbling now. We're seeing it all around us. If you don't see it, you've got to ask the Lord to remove the scales from your eyes, because it's in evidence today. And there's no question about it. Well, we are waiting for another caller to come up on the board for us to take the call. And as soon as I see that it's ready, I am going to take Jackie's call from Rochester, New York. Jackie is a first-time caller. Maybe you have an opinion about what you're seeing at the Olympics with regard to that opening ceremony. I do invite you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to being with Jackie. I'm not sure if she's ready yet or not. Is she ready? Just let me know and I will take her call. I oftentimes like to state that God, has chosen us for this moment in time. So we have nothing to fear, but we do have to meet the responsibility that is ours to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. Jackie is ready for us, and I'm glad. Listening to us via Station of the Cross there in Rochester, New York. Ringing my bell for you, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Janet. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome. I'm happy you're here with us.
I enjoy you immensely. I enjoy all the programming on the station that I get to hear all of you on.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It is a great blessing for all of us, and I think for all of our listeners, too. It's one of God's provisions for us today, I think.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that you're recognizing your gift and that you provide us with great programming.
Thank you.
So I have it's just a comment, and maybe sure. It was addressed already and somehow I missed it.
Okay.
But on the issue of baptizing your grandchildren,
yes,
it was just my thought that if your children, who have your grandchild, one is Catholic and one isn't, if you baptize that grandchild when they're an infant and the child never realizes they're being baptized, I was thinking that might be one thing. But if you do baptize the child, I would just hope that the element of secrecy wasn't built into that, like please don't tell your mother or please don't tell your father, because over time, when children have to keep a secret like that, it could be very damaging and ultimately divisive in the family. I never heard you say that, but I didn't hear anybody else address it either. So I would just caution, at least from my point of view, I think any time a child has to keep a secret like that, it could do some damage. And well, Jackie, I just wondered your feelings on that.
Well, thank you. And that's a very good point. And I do agree with you. We certainly do not want to be a cooperator in having our grandchildren disrespect their parents by not telling them the truth and to keep a secret from their parents. It's a serious secret about themselves is bad, and also indicates to the child that it's okay to keep secrets from your parents. And we do know that that can lead to all kinds of negative things that could happen to the child by way of that. So, yeah, I think that that's very important. And again, you know, as I stated, you know, to go behind our children's back, I just don't think is a good thing. You know, and here I'm talking about the parents, you know, for a grandparent to go behind their children's back. I do understand the concern. There's no question about it. But I think that there's other ways to address that, or at least to open the conversation saying, I'll take on the responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, we have to find out what the objection is. You know, in sales, you know, when you want to close a sale, you got to smoke out the objection. If it seems to be not going in your direction, what's holding this person up? You know, clearly there's a need. Why can't I wrap the sale up? We got to smoke out the objection. What's really causing them to delay? And sometimes if we can address that, we can resolve the issue. But thank you for that. It's an excellent point.
Jeanette, okay. I will continue to listen. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, and God bless you. You know, I have a YouTuber out there who is making a comment about the Olympics, saying there was a blackout in France. Only the Basilica du Sacre Cœur had light. Isn't that interesting? And the Basilica du Sacre Cœur de Montmartre has 24/7 Eucharistic adoration since the 1800s. So how beautiful is that? You know, I'm always amazed at how God makes provision. You know, I was looking at the timing of the Eucharistic Congress. You know, isn't it funny that the Eucharistic Congress took place, you know, a week ago now, at least, and but it was right before the mockery of the Last Supper at the Olympics. Isn't that something? You know, God knew the timing of all of that. God knew the timing of all of that. We didn't. You know, in addition to that, we can look at the timing of the Eucharistic Congress in light of everything that's going on in the United States. God knew the timing for that. So you see these things, and, you know, one of the, you know, themes that was part of that conference was the idea of Eucharistic adoration. You know, faithful reception, holy reception of the sacrament of the Eucharist, you know, not a routine reception. Oh, I do this every week, just going up there. But no, a fervency of desire to receive the Eucharist. So all of that being said, you know, God, in his mercy and kindness towards us, helps us in these moments. So yes, isn't this beautiful? So I thank you, YouTuber, for your very good comments. Really do appreciate it. We have Chris with us. I think we're going to get a chance to get to Chris. I'm hoping so. And yes, I think that we are right now. Chris is also with us via Station of the Cross, but this time from Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Hi, Jeanette. I just have one quick comment about the Olympics. Our parish priest held a holy hour last night for reparation and for praying for the conversion of those involved in that vulgar, you know, show. So I loved that, and that was nice.
Yes.
But my
go ahead.
Question
I was
is,
simply going to comment and say, you know, and isn't this appropriate? And I just want to, you know, thank your pastor for his quick response to encouraging his flock to make reparation for the sins of others. That's what reparation is. Jesus made reparation for us. It's making up for the sins of others. Go ahead.
Okay, and the second is advice and or a comment. My Catholic nephew married his Catholic girlfriend in a civil service. Their friend performed their ceremony, so not a church wedding. And now they are due. Their little one is due in August. And can they baptize their baby in the Catholic Church? I think, yes, it would be maybe up to the priest because we want their soul to be saved. But as an aunt, I just want them to get married in the church, have a sacramental marriage, and show their young baby.
Okay.
This is how it's done.
Well, this is an excellent question. And the fact that the parents were not married in the church doesn't necessarily prevent that child from being baptized. I know that oftentimes parents have to attend some classes prior to having their child baptized. If that's the case, then that might be the very path that the Lord uses to lead him back in, to lead them back into the church and to have their marriage convalidated in the church. As the aunt, I think that you can say to your nephew, here you are, you're having this beautiful child. This would be a wonderful time for you and your lovely wife to consider having your marriage convalidated, because I'm sure that you want to have your baby baptized to give your baby the very best start to life the baby could possibly have, you know? So, I think that as an aunt, you have the opportunity to express that to your nephew. But no, the baby could be baptized, yes. Okay, we've got to leave it there. God bless all of you. Bye-bye.